Welcome to fourthstream.com. Dave and I have been thinking about some of the things we've learned about family.
Oh, we have.
Raising kids.
We think a lot, don't we?
We do. And our marriage. And we decided to each come up with a list of five things. And I imagine our lists will overlap a little. We haven't really talked about them. So we'll see.
You know, I think in the greater context about God being family, which is what we're talking about, we want to talk about some of the things that we've learned, but that's all in the context of being a part of God's family. And any family principles that you apply always go to the backdrop of God being family. And this is fascinating to me because you have God the Father, God the Son, you've got the Holy Spirit, and then you've got Lady Wisdom, who was there when the earth was created. So that whole picture of family, God created it. God made it. And so we are experiencing the benefits of that as we try to figure out our own family lives.
So should I start and we'll just go back and forth?
Why not?
Okay. One of the things I had to learn, and I think I'm saying this one first because it was the one of the first things I had to learn, was how to put family first and myself and my desire second. I could say it, but I didn't know how hard it was going to be.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
At that time I was working and, you know, I enjoyed my friends there and I really liked my job and I'd changed jobs quite a few times. So I knew quite a bit about where I was working and my identity was there. So to leave that and become a mom and figure out who I was going to be and how important and how to put family first, because I couldn't do them both. I couldn't do them both at the same time and do both of them justice. And so,
well, plus you had to put me first.
Well, yes, that's true. So that was a big thing for me in the beginning, to learn how to put family first and not just say it, but actually do it.
I was thinking more from the marriage angle a little bit. And I was thinking about some of the things that we've learned. And, you know, it's very important to facilitate and nurture each of our own independent relationships with God. And that's something that took me a while to figure out, that you have your independent relationship with God. I have mine, and they come together and they really impact each other. But our relationship with God together does not replace our individual relationships with God. So that was a hard thing for me to, you know, because I was trying to figure out how to be a leader in my home and all those different things that I didn't have a clue about, but I understood in principle. So that was one thing that I feel like I've learned as we established our home.
Traditions are important. That was my second one. And I wouldn't really know till years later in some instances which ones were really loved by us all. I think, for instance, we started a book when we got together for Christmas, and we talked about what our year had been like, and then we talked about our hopes for the next year.
And this is along with our children.
Right. We did it with our three children. And at that time, we only had the five of us. We had no grandchildren. And so we didn't know that how much of a tradition that was going to become. I think it really struck me. I mean, I've known it now for a few years, but this year we sat down, and one of our grandkids joined us. And it was just interesting because we were explaining to him kind of how the book worked, and we took it back to the year 2000 or 1999, worrying about Y2K and what a big deal that was for us because of the radio station, you know, all their births are in there. And it was just kind of fun to go, oh my gosh, this is a tradition for us. But we've also had some other things that we thought, oh, this might be fun. We'll really do this. And I don't know, they just don't stick. They must not have been us. They must have been an idea that we heard or thought of. And so anyway, traditions are important.
Yeah, which you have been awesome at helping us with those traditions and keeping those traditions. I also thought about marriage from the perspective of our friendship, yours and my friendship together, and how that has paid off in such big ways as we've carefully and painstakingly, you know, invested in our friendship. Well, now it's like the dividends are like huge.
And that actually was my next one also. You're so kind. I put our marriage will always take work, so we have to keep at it. And I had to realize at some point when our marriage felt dull to me, I had to admit it was at least partially me. I mean, who else is there to blame? And so that's just been good for me to go, you know, when I feel like it's dull or a little less interesting, that's not on you. That's on both of us, but it's also on me.
We're talking about a few things that we've learned as we've established our home, because our post is discussing the whole idea about being a part of God's family, and God is family, and we get included in on that because we are obviously the offspring of God. And One of the things that has been really key in establishing our home is that we have figured out and found out that humility was God's gold standard for making true friendships flourish within the family. And that's really been, I don't know, a strength. Mm-hmm. Not that we were so humble, but that we recognized that God's humility was really important in order for us to have a strong foundation as a family.
Well, and for crying out loud, we didn't figure that out like in year one. It took a long time. It's one thing for us to say that we know we're supposed to be humble, but to actually live it out, that's just really hard. One of mine was just to parent together, finding people who you're friends with and people who will pray for your kids, you're going to pray for their kids, and that you just really care about each other's families. And that's, again, something that has to grow. You don't love someone else's kids, you know, the first year you meet them usually. That happens over a period of time where you begin to see them from kids into really being people and knowing that my friends are doing the same thing for my kids.
That reminds me of the whole idea about how important it is to hang with people who share the values that we mm-hmm. aspire to. It's not like we all have mastered them,
right.
But we're aspiring to the same things. And that can be really helpful when you're just around other people who have your values and are heading the same direction that you are.
Oh, it was everything to us. Just to hang in there, if nothing else. You realize that other people are doing it. It's tough. You're tired. And it was just good for us to be around that. My last one was, I had to learn to understand sons, understand boys and men as well as I could. Most recently,
because you're a girl.
Yeah, most recently, even though I'm called Bernie and people think that must be a guy. But most recently, I read a book called Mother and Son, The Respect Effect. It was really helpful. But for me to see the man in a little boy, you know, just when they're past toddler stage, that they have that coming out.
Sure.
And understand and believe that they want to be and are made to be protectors. Like, look how they want to be firemen and dress up in Superman or superhero outfits or whatever it is. They're showing that side of them because you don't really see girls do that.
You give them a doll and they turn it into a pistol.
That's right. And that they're problem solvers. It's a shift from my nature of being soothing and nurturing and how to nurture a son, but how to let him grow into a man and not to quash that in any way, because that's something that's God-given. That was kind of a lifelong, I made a lot of mistakes, but I did a lot of things that weren't mistakes either, that did recognize when my boys were young,
yes,
early teens. So like, I felt like, Dave, I feel like they're territorial. And you were like, yes, men need their stuff. I mean, not their stuff, but their area. They need something to protect. And that was just good for me. I had to learn that, but to figure out how to mother that was a whole different thing for me.
Well, and the other side of that coin was me learning how, mm-hmm. how to be a father to a daughter and to granddaughters. And just that whole idea about what does a woman need? Because mm-hmm. men's and women's needs are different. And then working that out in a family and not providing a perfect environment, but trying to provide an atmosphere where those needs and issues can be addressed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge part of family life.
Well, and adding to that, that the times have changed in the sense that many of us women think we don't need a certain kind of protection. And maybe we don't need it all in the same way, but there is still, we still need to be protected. And that's just interesting to have to work out in a new culture.
We're talking about a few things that we've learned as we've established our home. Now, does that pretty much cover the stuff that you've written down? Because the last one,
I'll admit,
you got to talk about romance, right?
Yes.
Okay. So romance evolves, find and maintain and expand the things that fit you as things do unfold. Because, it's one thing to be newly married, and then it's another thing to have crumb crunchers running around and kids hanging on you for years, and then the teenage years and whatever. So maintaining a romance and a commitment to romance in the midst of that, that's a challenge.
It's really true. When we had crumb crunchers, as you call them, and they're hanging, sometimes by the end of the day, I would feel like, I don't need anyone else to touch
don't
me.
Don't touch me.
And I knew better, but a little bit, I felt that way. And then when you have teens, when we had teens, we were tired. So, you know, it's learning how to keep the romance alive in the midst of all of that.
Well, we're running out of time, but I want to give you five quick things related to kids, because we focused on marriage. But number one, after we've done everything we know to do, we must trust God to do what we cannot do. Mm-hmm. And that was something that you just don't learn that.
There
up front.
Are no perfect parents there except aren't. For the father.
Second of all, it's okay to have different roles and a shared vision for being parents. And that's a cool thing when you learn how to tag team together, that you, of course you look at things differently. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to look at things differently, and then you work that out together in the family. Then also when it comes to children need structure. They need to know what's what. And anybody that talks through any issues related to children, it all comes back to structure. Talk to a shrink, talk to a pastor, talk to whoever you want to talk to. But, you know, families need structure, and it's incredibly important. Kids also need words of affirmation, and they need those consistently and specifically. And
they need them more often than they need correction.
Yes.
Overall.
Yeah. Correction is like such a minimal part of what we do. And if you get that out of balance with affirmation, well, that can present some family challenges. Finally, children need to be progressively let go. And this kind of starts moving into the preteen and teenagers years. But we should be praying for them until our final breath, because even though our kids are launched, that doesn't mean they're not facing their own challenges in their lives. Well, God is our Father. We're a part of His family, and we get to have family life and contribute to it. Again, we said over and over again, not perfect family life, but a heart of love committed to our families and committed to the people that God has placed in our world.